My God is a loving God. He's a precious Father who loves His children. He loves His children beyond compare. You can't imagine how He loves you. You just think you know. You just think you know. But until you've laid yourself at His feet and let Him caress you and take you in His arms, and when He does, all your earthly cares disappear. They're gone. Because His love surrounds you. And there's nothing, nothing, nothing in this world that can compare to having the Father hold you in His arms. Nothing. If you've not experienced it, you need to find out how. Because it's when you step into that secret place with Him, nothing else matters. Nothing else. Hallelujah.
Well, when I was trying to decide what to do tonight, the Lord has been impressing on me something for the past few weeks. And so I just felt that I was to continue on with what He's been pressing on to me and share some of it with you. And as I look around, I ask myself, what's happening in the world today? It seems everywhere you look in the world, it's threatening to come apart at the seams. It seems like the economies and the governments of all the countries are collapsing upon themselves, or they're being stretched to the limits and just can't contain themselves anymore. In Zimbabwe, the country of Zimbabwe, I know this one personally, the economy is so inflated down there. In 2005, when I left to come back here from there, one of our American dollars, when you exchanged it in their marketplace for their money, was over 26,000 of their dollars. One of our dollars. Morals have decayed to a level that's just unthinkable. Everywhere you look, television, radio, the big reader board ads and stuff, they're just, it's at a level where I 20 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined seeing the morals this decayed. Country after country is either at war with itself internally or fighting off terrorist attacks or their neighbors. Despair and despondency seem like it's everywhere if you listen to the news. If you can help it, I'd suggest you don't listen to the news. It's better if you don't. Amen? Why is it that the world today seems like they're rushing headlong into that dark abyss, into that Neverland, the world of darkness that we've been delivered from? Why is it the world is headed that way? What has happened? Where's the church that God said He was going to build to bring forth His word here on His word and His ways here on earth? Where's that church at? Jesus was sent to give His life for us, for all of mankind, that we could have everything we needed to live in such a way that there would be peace on earth and goodwill for all men. Isn't that what Scripture says? Amen. What's happened? Where is that peace? Where's that joy? Where's that goodwill? Seems to me that, for the most part, we haven't got it yet. And I include the church in that. Yeah, there's a few of us that do. A few little sects here and there. But for the most part, we don't have it yet. We don't know what it is. We've not found out that we are supposed to be the carriers of His plan. That we're supposed to be the ones who let His light shine forth. We're the ones that's supposed to carry out His plan, His way and His purposes here on earth. Why aren't we doing it? I think it's time for us as a church to turn back to God with all our hearts and lay down what isn't working. And pick up what Jesus told us to do. Amen? We, the church, have not had the revelation that we're supposed to be the bearers of the way of life to the rest of the world. We're supposed to be the light in the life of Christ to rule and reign in this earth. Not to be followers. His life is supposed to rule and reign in every area of life on the world. Instead, we're letting someone else lead and rule and reign. That's not supposed to be ruling and reigning on this earth. Don't take my word for it, though. Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The problem is, the church, for the most part, does not know what the kingdom of God is. I was included in that. Not everyone's ready to hear the word of the kingdom. Only those who are given ears to hear can hear the word of the kingdom. Jesus said that without those without revelation of the word of the kingdom, those with hardened hearts and religious convictions and cares of this life can't hear his word. Matthew chapter 13. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and stop for a minute, the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. The word there, translated word, is the word logos from the Greek. And that word logos means something said, including the thought, a topic, a subject of discourse, a communication concerning doctrine, or preaching. What I thought was interesting was that it is a communication concerning doctrine. When anyone hears the communication of the doctrine of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I like to go back there to that word in verse 23 where it says, he who hears the word and understands it, and replace the word understands it with he who receives revelation of the word. Because you can hear it and think you understand it, but if you don't have revelation of it, you don't know what it means. Amen? The revelation of the kingdom of God will not very often match up with our own understanding that we currently have. Amen. A true revelation of the kingdom totally changes the way we think and believe if we're willing to listen to it, willing to allow it, and are open to receive it. A true revelation of the kingdom will cause us to completely renew our way of storing and filing our spiritual data. I'm going to say that again. A true revelation of the kingdom will cause us to completely renew our way of storing and filing our spiritual data. The revelation of the kingdom will become the major heading in our filing system under which all other spiritual data is stored. When you understand it. What is the kingdom of God? The phrases kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven mean essentially the same thing, and they're used interchangeably throughout the scripture. So whenever you see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, they basically mean the same thing. Amen? People have different thoughts about what the kingdom of God is. Some see it as a generic term for anything concerning God, just like we refer to the animal kingdom whenever we're talking about things about animals. Some think the church is the kingdom of God. Well, that's far from the truth. The church is not the kingdom of God. Others relate the kingdom of God to heaven. But heaven is someday. Heaven's not today. Some think of the kingdom negatively, as though some other humans were trying to supernaturally impose their things upon the world. Some think it's only in believers. Notice the confusion. Everybody has a little bit different idea of what it is. And that's just what the enemy wants you to have, is confusion. He doesn't want you to understand what the kingdom of God is. The enemy desires that we have doubts and confusion in our minds when we hear the words kingdom, kingdom of God, and kingdom of heaven. Because he greatly fears the kingdom of God coming forth in us. The enemy knows that when the revelation of the kingdom of God matures and manifests in God's people, his rule on earth is over. And so he wants to keep us confused. He wants to keep us in doubt and fear. So what is the kingdom of God then? What is the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, I looked at Matthew alone, the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew alone, the word kingdom appears 56 times. 51 of those are spoken by Jesus. 56 times in the book of Matthew, the kingdom is spoken about, and 51 times it's Jesus speaking it. Now, there must be a reason that Jesus is bringing up the kingdom that much. Now, I didn't compare the other books, the other Gospels, because they're just parallels of Matthew. But I do know that in the Gospels alone, over 100 times, Jesus talks about the kingdom. Well, let's look at that word kingdom. It's the Greek word basileia. And if you want the Strong's number, so you can look it up for yourself, it's 932 in the Strong's. And it means royalty, rule, or realm. Okay? But it's taken from another Greek word. And that Greek word is basileus. And it's the Strong's number 935. And it means, through the notion of a foundation of power, a sovereign or a king. Let's go a step further. That's taken from another Greek word. And that Greek word is basis. It's pronounced just like our word basis. And it's the Strong's 939. And that means which is a walk, or which is to walk, a pace or a foot. And you know, we use the word basis in our English language to basically mean the foundation or footing for something that we build on. A kingdom is a government ruled by a sovereign. Is it not? Perhaps it'll help us then to think of the kingdom of God as the government of God instead of the kingdom of God. It's the government of God. Amen? If we do that, if we think of it as the government of God, then let's go backwards through what I just went through on those three words and put it together like this. To walk by the foundational power of God's government. That's what kingdom of God is. To walk by the foundational power of God's government. Most of Jesus' teachings were aimed at explaining the kingdom or the government of God, how it works and how to enter into it. The general theme of the kingdom of God runs out through the whole Gospels, through all the teachings in the New Testament, basically. You can find the theme of the kingdom of God there. That's what it's all about. Tonight I want to look at a few verses, and we're going to stay basically in Matthew, so we're not going to be running all over. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 for the first one. Verse 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Here John the Baptist is quoted, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what was he saying? Repent, change, for the government of God is at hand. See what I've done? If the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is actually the government of God, let's replace it. Repent, for the government of God is at hand, or is near. Well, how about verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17? Not only did John say it, but Jesus said, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Or, "Repent, for the government of God is at hand." Look, guys, I'm here. I mean, that's what I would say. That's really what he's saying. The government of God had drawn near and they didn't even realize it. They had no revelation of what he was talking about. They were looking for a material kingdom. Something tangible they could touch, feel, see. No. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the government of God. The supreme government, if you will. Over all governments. Let's go to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, let's stop for a minute and look at that word gospel. How does that go with government? Well, gospel we all know is the good news, right? What's the good news, though? See, we've all taken the good news to be getting someone born again. We put the emphasis on getting them born again. Jesus went about preaching the good news of the government of God. And in also healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. But he was preaching the good news of the government of God. Most of the time when we hear the word gospel, we think of the good news. And when we think of the good news, we think of going telling somebody about Jesus so we can get them born again. The gospel of being born again is only the first part of the gospel. It's only the first part of the good news. There's a ton more good news comes with it. Most of Jesus' teachings, he didn't teach about getting people born again. The gospel of being born again is only the first part, people. It's only a part. Yes, one must be born again to see the kingdom of God. That's why it's the first part. Because if you're not born again, you're not going to get revelation of what it is. You're not going to understand it. A lot of those that are born again don't understand it. To stop at the first part and just teach being born again is like stepping inside the door, God's door, into His kingdom, and stopping and never going any further. Everything else He has for us, we would miss out on. You'd never experience the bountiful life. You'd never experience the treasures of the kingdom that He laid up for us before the foundations of the earth. If all you do is step through the doorway and stop and just preach the gospel of being born again. Oh, you got to see this. Most of the teachings of Jesus were focused on what the gospel of the kingdom is and how it works. Not about getting people born again. We've got to preach and teach the same thing He did. It's a necessity. We've got to understand how it works. Not just getting born again. But we need to know the vital, the basic foundational principles of the good news of the kingdom, of the good news of the government of God. That living on earth, they're all contained in the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament people. You know, here's a funny little story, but I want to use it to show a point. A man set out to cross a large swamp in a small wooden rowboat. He paddled well into the swamp, and when he got about in the middle, he was attacked viciously by several large alligators. The attack was so vicious that the boat was destroyed and sank. And he found himself standing waist deep in a muddy, mucky mire with alligators all around him. And all he had left was his paddle. And as he began to try to beat off the alligators with the paddle was broken. All he's got left is a stub. And then he hears a far cry from the distant shore. "Hey out there, I got good news for you. A very important government man was here last week and looked at this swamp, and he's going to bring some men and some equipment someday, and they're going to drain it." A lot of good it did that guy right then, huh? The good news of Jesus coming back and that we'll be in heaven someday is good news. But what about now? But the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached was more, and it can help us get through those alligators right now. Amen? Let's go on. Suddenly, a man in a strong, powered boat appeared and moved up quickly to the man. And he asked, "Do you need help there?" The guy cried out, "Of course I need help. Please help me." The man in the boat commanded the alligators to stop attacking, and they immediately swam away. He helped the tired, wet, bloody man into his boat. He gave him dry clothes, gave him medicine, which quickly healed his wounds, and immediately they were at their destination. That's the good news of the kingdom. The here and now. I'm not waiting to have till I get to heaven to have the good life. He said I could have the good life here and now. See, that's what happens when we only preach part of the gospel. Or we don't understand the gospel of the kingdom. If you don't understand it, you can't preach it. The gospel of the kingdom focuses on restoring the rule of God from heaven to here on earth now. The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached focused on heaven's ways coming to earth more than our going to heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, go up there. No, he said, thy kingdom come here. He taught how to live in a manner of life that would bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. His way of doing things. But it doesn't come without a price. Jesus warned us what would happen if we got a revelation of the kingdom of God, if we got a revelation of the government of God, and if we started to live by it. He warned us what would happen. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3. Back, let's read all of these, starting with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the government of God. See, all of the Beatitudes deal with here and now on earth. They don't say anything about heaven. All of this is supposed to come to pass here and now on earth. And then the last one he says, but those of you who understand the revelation of the government of God are going to be persecuted for it. Because it's not of the world. Go over to verse 20. Jesus speaking. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Or you will by no means understand the government of God. How do you get the righteousness? How do you get a righteousness that's more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees? He was talking with religious people then. How do you get it? You don't do it on your own. You get it through Jesus. You get it through Jesus. It's His righteousness. Go to chapter 10. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or is near. The government of God is near. Through the government of God, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. When you understand, when you have a revelation of the government of God and what it entails, you can do what He's told you to do. You can be what He's told you to be. Notice that He didn't say the kingdom of God was coming or the kingdom of heaven was coming. No, He said it's here. It's at hand. It's not something we're going to have in the future. It's not something to look forward to. It's something to claim right now. It's ours. Go to chapter 12. Verse 25. Jesus, in trying to tell us and get through to us what the kingdom of God was all about, what the kingdom of heaven was all about, even showed us what Satan had and what he had done and what was his kingdom. His kingdom, not the government of God, this one would be the government of Satan, had to look forward to. Verse 25, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the government of God has come upon you. Not going to be. Not someday. It has. It's here. Chapter 13. We're not going to look at all 56 of them. Okay? Just the ones I thought were necessary. Chapter 13, verse 41. However, it might be a good idea for you to do a study and go through the New Testament and review every place that the word kingdom is used, because every place the word kingdom is used in the New Testament, it's the same Greek word. Basileia. The same one. Every time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. He is going to purge His government of every offender of His government when the time is right. There will not be anyone left in His government who is not righteous and walking according to the government of God. How about this one? Chapter 16. Let's go down to verse Verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the government of God. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When he gave the church the keys to the kingdom, he gave us the keys to his government. The keys to use his government. Amen? Chapter 4. Chapter 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. He even warned us that different governments were going to rise against other governments. But the one government that's going to prevail over all of them is the government of God. Even if it doesn't look like it, it shall prevail. Because we know the end of the story. But we were warned this would happen. Just because it's happening shouldn't excite us. Shouldn't make us worry. We knew it was going to happen. He told us so. But it's happening because there's not enough of His people out there who understand His government and are putting it into work in this world. Romans chapter 13 told us we're to submit to all the governments out there because all governments are from Him. He didn't tell us not to be a part of that government, though. If we aren't a part of the government, how can it be His government? How can He get His government working in all the earth if the church doesn't become a part of the local governments? If we don't get involved. And your involvement might be nothing more than to vote for the candidate that God tells you to vote for. But there are those others that He's going to impress to run for office that are His people. Amen? And if He places that on your heart, then you better do it. Because, number one, you're probably a shoe-in. Amen? Let's go to verse 14. Chapter 24. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Then we get to go home. This good news of the government of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end comes. The end isn't going to come until all the world has been preached about the kingdom of God or the government of God. Amen? And that's coming faster and faster with all the technology. Amen? But you know, with all of that talk about the government of God, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul gives us perhaps the most clear, concise, spiritual definition of the kingdom of God apart from it being a government. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, he said, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Well, how can that be the government of God then? Well, it in itself is not. The kingdom of God is not a material thing that we can grab hold of. It's a spiritual well-being. brought about by the revelation of what the kingdom of God is. When you walk by the foundational power of God's government, it brings forth righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, but in the natural, it's going to cause tests and trials and persecution from the world when you walk in God's government. When you walk in His way of doing things, you're going to have tests and trials and persecution. But in the spiritual side, it brings forth righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is a realm or a walk. It's a lifestyle sovereignly ruled by the basic foundational power of God's government, through which God's rule and dominion will be established in earth through us. The kingdom, that kingdom walk, that walking in a lifestyle of the government of God is produced by the appearing or manifesting of Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit within us, God's people, when we've received revelation of what the kingdom of God is. Remember this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, the conflict is between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Or it's between the government of God and the government of Satan. It's spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So when you walk in the revelation and you of the government of God, if you walk in His lifestyle, your battle is not in the natural. The spiritual battle is won for the honor of entering into and walking in the kingdom of God lifestyle. That's what that battle is all about. That's what that spiritual battle is all about, is to have the honor to be able to walk in the kingdom of God lifestyle. Not just being born again. That's great. That's good. You have to have that. Nor just going to heaven someday. No. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things, people. It's not the world's way. It's God's way. And we've got to get a revelation of that before we can walk in it. Amen? It's God's way of doing things. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's God's way of doing things. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news about the government of God and what it has for us, what it can do for us, what is available to us now, not later. Praise God. We got to get a hold of it. We've got to understand it. No, we've got to have a revelation of it. God's got to open your eyes to it. And He's had me in this Matthew book for weeks now. And I wasn't seeing it. And finally He says, He showed me. This is what it's about. You got to understand that a kingdom is a sovereign ruled realm ruled by a sovereign king. So the kingdom of God, therefore, is the government of God ruled by God. Not by a democracy, not by an elected president, not by a board of directors. It's ruled sovereignly by God. Amen? But it's a good government. It's full of good news. It's full of it. All the things He's already done for us, the things He's promised us, the things that are ours. Not someday. Today. Actually, yesterday. Because we haven't appropriated them. Praise God. Did you get anything tonight?
Yes, that was good.
Hallelujah. God, my God is good. And He has nothing but good things for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I thought it was interesting. After He showed me what He wanted me to teach tonight, I went and looked up in a dictionary the word kingdom. And the first definition listed under that was a state or government having a king or queen as its head. Well, I knew that. But when I got down to number 5, the spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ. And number 6, the domain over which the spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ extends, whether in heaven or on earth. And that came out of a regular dictionary. Lines right up with what He showed me in His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. You blessed?